All right. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I had planned on preaching from a few verses out of chapter 3 and chapter 4, but I'm going to have to back up and go a little deeper in chapter 3 to start reading. I believe it'll do us all good. How many of you got your Bibles this evening? Let me see. Hold them up. Oh, that makes the devil nervous. It does. You know what makes him even more nervous? If you read it. It does. If he sees you open that Bible at the house, it'll make him more nervous than to see you have it at God's house. That's right. We ought to love the Bible. We ought to live the Bible. We ought to live according to the precepts of this Word. And we ought to be thankful that we have the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't hit this enough. I don't preach on it enough. But where would we be this evening without the Word of God?
Amen.
You think about that. That's not some just shallow statement that I'm making to fill time. That ain't filler. That's meant for to be heard. Where would you be this evening? And some people may not, this may not mean a whole lot. But if you're saved, and you've been saved at any length of time, that Bible should mean something to you. It should matter to you. It should have an absolute place in your life. And if it don't, that's a good reason why you're not growing the way you should be growing. It's impossible. I'll say this, and it ain't stepping out too far on a limb. It's impossible to grow at the rate God wants you to grow apart from the Word of God. That's right. And no telling how many gallons of blood have been shed so that we could have and hold this Bible. I mean, no telling how many people have been burned at the stake. Babies cut out of pregnant women. Martyred so that we could hold and have the Word of God. And we throw it up on the shelf and let it collect dust. Some people leave them in the pews from week to week. I see them. If you like one of my daughters, they say, well, I want another Bible so I can leave one at the church. I said, you need to get in the habit of carrying your Bible to the church. Ain't that right, Ellie?
Hey.
That's right. Going to church without your Bible is like going to the table without a fork. You need it. You need it. So let's look at it. Probably the most... this book has definitely been gone after by the demons and devils of hell more than any other book printed. But I would say probably in the Christian life, there's not much more that's targeted in your personal Christian life than to try to separate you and get you so busy you don't have time to get in the Word of God. The devil knows that somebody that reads the Word of God, it's a sword. It is that offensive weapon. Most of the in Ephesians chapter 6, most of those parts of armor that the soldier put on was defensive, but not the word of truth. The spirit of truth, that is an offensive weapon. You remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 when the devil came to tempt him?
Yes, sir.
He was at his weakest. I mean, he had been fasting for many days and weeks, and he was weak. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. He was exhausted mentally, physically, and emotionally. He was at his lowest. And even Jesus, when tempted by the devil, returned in quick order. It is written. And second temptation came. It is written. Third, it is written. And the devil had to flee each and every time. And we need to learn. If Jesus had to quote the Bible, I promise you we need to know the Bible to be able to quote it. Because you're not always, listen, we're not always going to have this thing in our pocket ready to whip out on him. You need to have it in your heart. So that when that temptation comes, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to do this. When I need a word the most, when I'm under temptation, he'll bring it from my heart to my mind. And it'll come out my mouth. And I encourage you, verbalize what's in your heart and your mind and speak it. There's something powerful about the spoken word. When it just lingers in your mind, it can get flustered and you can have mind battles and not know. But when you speak it with authority, I encourage you, next time Satan tempts you, tell him, I ain't listening to that.
Hey.
He talks to you, you might as well talk to him.
Yeah, right.
Tell him, I ain't listening to that. In the name of Jesus, the Word of God said, and you flip off about three verses, and he will flee.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You say, oh, you're crazy. Well, I know when the devil leaves my house, how's he hanging at yours?
Amen.
I'm telling you, He can't, listen, he can control anything I throw at him.
Sure.
Physically, mentally, anything I can come up with or conjure up, he can handle it. Except that.
Hey.
And he's no match for that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he'll flee. So I encourage you, do that. Now let's look. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 preach on the subject, the importance of the Word of God. Or, I don't usually do this, but here's a second title, the building ministry of the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God builds things in your life? It absolutely does. And it's very important. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Oh, let's go back to verse 5, I guess. You know, the setting of chapter 3 starts out with those famous words, "This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come." I'd say that's the days we're living in.
Amen.
Where men shall be lovers of their own selves. Ain't that sounding more familiar?
Amen.
Covetous, boasters, I'm in verse 2, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. All right, Mom and Daddy, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Yeah, that's 2020. Most unthankful crowd I've ever seen. Look around America. People are just unthankful, ungrateful. Without natural affection. You don't have to look far to find that. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. My goodness. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, I hadn't missed one ball game that they hadn't played. I'm sincere. It ain't bothering me a bit. I don't care if they start playing. I'm sincere. We got our priorities out of order. Paying that crowd all that money to act so goofy. Hey, I thank God for America. I ain't going to back up on that. Not for a little bit. I'm not going to put an athlete above patriots who shed their blood and been willing to. Who are spoiled pansies is what they are. Ungrateful, unthankful. Well, verse 5, here it is. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, you say, what in the world has this got to do with the Word of God? We're going to get there. This is setting the stage. This is why I believe these verses explain how we have lost the truth about the Word of God and how important it truly is. I believe that a generation of people that hasn't depended upon the Word of God, hasn't relied on the Word of God, don't know the precepts and the promises of the Word of God, is the very people who know a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. We got a bunch of jargon and head knowledge about God and spiritual things, but people don't know much about this Bible these days. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed if I was just go through this congregation who hears preaching week in and week out, how illiterate spiritually people are. People been saved 10, 15, 20 years, and my children no more. God forbid. God forbid. That ought not be. And don't get mad at me for saying it. That ought not be. That ought not be. You ain't got no excuse if you've been saved a while that you don't know some of this Bible. And more than you hearing at church. You need to develop a relationship with this Word. I promise you, there is no replacement for it. You can go to church every day of the week and it ain't going to replace that. You can pray 2 hours a day and it ain't going to replace what you intake from the Word of God. You got to have that. You got to have that. Well, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I'm not even going to hardly pause at that verse, but I could drop the hammer right there. Silly women in houses. Listen, and it ain't just silly women, it's silly men.
Yeah.
Silly youngins all over the place. They'll believe about anything. It blows my mind. Brother Jackie, I've had people, not at this church, I ain't said much about it, but down there in Georgia, I had people sitting on my pews for years. And then something would come up one day about Benny Hinn or one of them nuts. Joyce, and your friend, you give me the book. Oh, Joel Smiley Osteen. These people on my church pews, and I preach against these people and tell them they're charlatans and they're hirelings and they're not God sent. Right. Yeah. And they have the nerve to tell me, brother, oh, I sent them $30 last week. I listen to them, well, I get help from Joyce. God help you, friend. If you get help from that, you ain't read the Bible too much.
Hey,
she is not in the lines of that Bible.
Amen.
And just if you wonder, no, I do not believe in women preachers.
Amen.
No, I do not.
Amen.
Show me in the Bible where the woman can be the husband of one wife and we'll have a conversation. Because you're going downhill in that argument.
Yeah.
If you want to go down that route. Because then you're talking about, can a lesbian be a preacher? No, they can't. That's the only way a woman can have two, be the husband of one wife.
Yeah.
Therefore, they can't be woman preachers.
Amen.
They can be woman a lot of other things. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, servants. God made it that way. I didn't. If you're mad about that, take it up with God. I didn't make them rules.
Amen.
I think a woman can talk way better than a man.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Let me get back to the Bible. Oh, heaven help us. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 9. Talking about those silly women. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Here it is. Verse 10 is a transition. Verse 9 and below is speaking to how things are going to be in the last days. Perilous times. It's going to be heady, high-minded traitors, seducing spirits. It's all kind of, it's talking about what's going to be. And then verse 10, and he's talking about in verse 7 and 8 how that they did Moses, how that women and men who were reprobate, who didn't know the truth when it stared them in the face. And then the writer of this book, it's about to go in and give you a pedigree of and tell you why we should believe him and why we should follow and study after him and men like him. Verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. And it don't stop there. He's saying, you also know this about me, persecutions, afflictions. He's saying, yes, I did my study. Yes, I've been faithful. Yes, I was faithful to study the Word of God. But even when it got hard, even when I wasn't in my study, even when I went behind the pulpit, when I went out in the world and it got hard and they persecuted me and shamed me and blasphemed me, he said, I stayed faithful. Even through that, I didn't quit. There's something to say about men that won't quit when it gets hard. Because I'm seeing them fold like cheap suits in this day and hour we're living in. First little thing comes up. I promise you this, I would not let my wife talk about a man of God. I wouldn't do it. You have no idea the damage you're doing to your children.
Amen.
Teaching them to deny and disrespect and have no respect for authority.
Amen.
You can't unpeel that onion.
That's right.
And I'll say this, this wasn't part of the message, but ooh, it's good.
Yes, sir. Preach on.
Breaks my heart, but I'm telling you the truth. Every person that's ever come to me falsely and wrongly and lied on me, cheated me, steal me, hurt, tried to hurt me in the church, my ministry, every one of them. Matter, I can't think of one person that I ain't got a good relationship with them. They just, God just broke the fire out of them. Lost their family, lost their marriages, their children's on dope and drunkards and got kicked out of college. I mean, I can tell, prison? I'm talking about grown people. Well-educated, good people. But they get on the wrong side of God and God's preacher. Wrongly. I plead with you. Hey, even if you disagree with it, don't go out. And I ain't talking about just me. That, against any preacher.
Amen.
Even if they're wrong, what do you benefit by talking about them? I promise it'll serve you better just to hush your mouth and touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. Because you don't gain nothing by talking about them. And that goes for about anything. You don't gain nothing by talking about people. You, It may feel good for the moment, but you ain't gained nothing. That's right. Well, I'm just saying, you'd be better off just keep your mouth shut. If it's all you get out of the message tonight, it's well worth your time to have come.
Hey.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, learn how to do this, and people will quit talking to you.
Yeah.
Oh, when you fold that ear out like an accordion, it don't pay. It don't pay. Please take that.
Amen.
Even if you know they're wrong, talk to the Lord. And don't talk to people.
Amen.
That's free, but that's really good advice. The Lord delivered them me out of them all. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a great verse. If you don't have that one underlined, you should underline it. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and that thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. That'll be all the reading out of this portion of the Bible. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to keep your Bible open. If you can turn fast enough, turn. If you can't, listen. Why is the Bible so important? Why is the Word of God a building ministry in your life? It should be. It could be, if we would allow it, to build in our life. And anything that Bible builds is good.
Amen.
Anything that Bible builds is eternal.
Amen.
You'll never have to back up or apologize if you let God build Himself and build your life from the Word of God.
Amen.
So why is the Bible important? Number one, it is a faith builder. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how our faith is built, by hearing the Word of God. Faith, what kind of faith? Faith for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not only faith for salvation, but faith for service. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Do you know, you cannot please Him apart from faith.
Amen.
That means anything you can conjure up and figure out and work up in your own ingenuity and mindset and power and strength, don't please Him. Only that He gives you through faith pleases Him. And we just read, where do we get faith? Where do we get more faith? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That's the only way to get it. If for no other reason, that ought to be plenty of reason enough to get to church. That's how you build your faith. I say that in love. I love you. I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just love you. I hate when you miss church, and don't think I don't miss it. I called several people today who wasn't here this morning. When you miss and I look in your spot and you ain't there, or your children ain't there, I don't think them low-down, stinking, liberal devils. Goodness, I don't think that. My heart grieves.
Yeah.
I think, goodness, today God will their faith today.
Yeah.
Maybe today will be the day that God was going to impart to them that amount of faith they need for the next leg of the journey.
Amen.
This could have been the morning that God was going to impute to them the faith our children would need to get saved. Oh, God, that breaks my heart. So I don't look down a condescending nose when you miss church. It just breaks my heart, as it does God's. Just call it a quick time out and tell you this. I've watched that little woman right there, slave over an oven, stay up all night cooking, cleaning, cooking, cooking more and cooking more, expecting her youngins to come eat. They got something better to do. I see the letdown. Because she worked hard to prepare and to provide and with her own hands offer sustenance and something to help grow. And they don't even care to come. That's how the Lord feels. Prepares and puts in a preacher's heart the exact thing you need. And then you don't show. It lets him down. So don't look at it like you just filling a position and getting checked off. Look at it like you're coming to meet with God. Amen. And when you don't show up, there ain't no meeting between you and God.
Right.
Well, faith builds in our life from the Word of God. Faith for salvation, faith for service, faith for stepping out. Hebrews 11:8. This is how we learn when to step out, how to step out. When God says, step out. And I'm like, no. I'm comfortable right here in my little cove that I've got used to. I don't want to go out in the deep part of the lake. I'm in here. The wind's off of me. Things are good, Lord. What do you mean, move? That's what he told Abraham. And he didn't even give him a destination. Abraham couldn't plug into his GPS where he was going. The GPS would have been stumped because Abraham didn't know, the GPS didn't know, nobody knew but God. Here's what the verse says. Abraham went, it's Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. That's faith, friend. He was a rich man. He had cattle and land and servants. He was a rich man. And God said, okay, it's time to get up and go. Where, Lord? Don't you worry about that. Just go.
Amen.
Say what?
Amen.
I know how much I struggle just to move back home.
Yeah.
To Packlet. It's the biggest decision I've ever had in my life. Getting married was pretty easy. I tried to fix that stuff I said earlier. She was so beautiful, I just said, yes, yes, yes. Y'all tell her that for her. Put that on the CD. Getting married was the easiest day of my life. But moving back to Packlet, leaving my church. And I know y'all, and now I'm so happy because now God showed me how he was going to do things. But back then, go. I don't want to go. But I'm being honest. Brother Ned, I love you. I love coming to teach you in that Sunday school class over there. And them older fellows back when just y'all, I loved that. That was one of the highlights of my journey coming down here. But I didn't want to stay. I had left all back here. I didn't have nothing but bad stories back here. But that's how God can move. I was talking to my cousin sitting back there in church, faithful, doing good. We'll just sit and weep together and talk about how good God's been. To think that God could bring all this back together and put us back together and let us fellowship over the things of God. We used to run together in sin.
Yeah.
Now God brought me back from hell and back and brought him back from hell and back, and we're in church serving God together with you.
Hey. Amen.
Only God could do that.
Thank God.
But you know what would happen? If I had said, no, I'm not moving. No. You know what would happen? The fellowship would have dried up between me and God. I'd have been out of God's will. There. And I knew that. And I know I can't trust me. Without the help and hand of God. I said, okay, Lord. Wherever, whenever, however, this is going to happen. If you tell me to go, I'll go. And I thank God for it. I know you hear a lot of me that I said I didn't want to go. Don't judge me for that. I didn't. That don't mean I don't want to be here now. I do. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. But only God could move that, change that in my heart. He took a, this is what's amazing. He took a love out of my heart. When God gives you a heart to pastor, them people, I can't explain this. Please listen to me. If you're a daddy in here, listen. If you're a husband in here, listen, or a wife. I didn't know, Brother Cameron, you don't know quite yet. You think you know what love is. But that love will change when you say, I do. God gives you a unique supernatural love for that woman and that woman alone. And you don't know what that is until that day comes. And I'm telling you, it's different. You don't get it until then, but then when it comes, it's there to stay. It better stay. But if you're a daddy in here or a mama, I remember my wife getting pregnant. We hadn't had no babies before. And she lost that baby, that first one. And it destroyed her. I mean, she wept. She got mad, wept, sad. And I was a little sad. I'm not lying to you. I'm just telling you the truth. Some of you husbands better listen. I saw that anger turn toward me because I wasn't as upset as she was. You know why? I didn't understand it. I was young and stupid and dumb, and there wasn't a baby living inside my body. All I knew was she said she was pregnant, and now she ain't. And I was sad for her. But it didn't bother me that much about that baby. It bothered me, not like it bothered her. And then the second one, lost. Third, lost. I said, you can't have children. Well, it started getting more serious then. And I thought, goodness, we can't have children? And she was broken. I mean, well, then I started telling people. And she started telling people. And people started, please pray for us to be able to have a baby. They've told us it's impossible. Please pray so we can have children. We wanted children. There comes Macy. Dun, 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 dun. Made her debut. And it was like, praise Jesus. She was born. She made it. She discovered planet Earth. She's here. Hallelujah. A month later, Jenny said, I don't feel so good. I said, what's the matter? She said, I swear I feel pregnant. I said, you better swear something else. You hear that loud youngin' in that bedroom in there? And sure enough, I went to the store and bought 6 pregnancy tests, made her take every one of them, and they all checked, yes, you are expecting. I started calling everybody, stop the praying, stop the praying. They're coming by twos. This ain't the ark. This ain't the ark. They're coming by twos. Pray the other way. That's right. That's right. My point is, after Macy was born and Ellie, and when I became a daddy and I saw them babies, it just took Macy. When I saw my child born, something changed.
Amen, sir.
It wasn't a figment of my imagination.
Yes.
It wasn't something I thought about. It was a real living being child.
Yeah.
And then after that, when there was a loss, it was like it was just as real to me as it was my wife. Crushing.
Gotcha. Amen.
Because God gives you a love when it's time for a marriage, for a child, for a church.
Good, preacher.
And you don't know what that love is until you've done it. And so I'm saying it was a miracle for God to remove and relinquish the love I have for that church. I still love them people. I love them. Led most of them to the Lord. Watched them walking out and get saved. I love them. But I felt God peel his fingers back off my heart and place it here. And I wasn't happy, and I didn't have the peace of God till I got here. And there's a little turmoil getting here. Well, God's word builds us and gives us faith for stepping out, for salvation, for serving. Not only is it a faith builder, number two, it is a fire builder. A fire builder. Jeremiah, I won't spend near as long on the rest of these. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. In the Christian's heart, it's like a fire. Jeremiah 29. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Not only to the Christian's heart is it a fire, but in the Christian home, his word is a fire. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, We will serve the Lord. Yes. God put that in my heart from His Word. And when He puts something in your heart from His Word, it cannot be taken.
Amen.
Not only in the Christian's home and the Christian's heart, but in the church house. Luke 4:17, the Bible says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.'" That's the preaching ministry of the Holy Ghost and of His Word. Not only is His Word a faith builder and a fire builder, but His Word is a freedom builder. You don't know freedom until you get in His Word and let Him give you promises. He can promise you things. He can make little black letters jump up off the page and salute off that white paper just for you. And when God shines a light over here, you may be reading over here and reading and reading and not getting a whole lot, but when you get where He wants you, business picks up. He'll say, psh, psh, out of heaven, that's for you. And you look and them verses just stand up and march off them papers into your heart, and it's from God. Can't nobody make you a promise like God can. I've got little places in my old Bibles that's wore out, underlined, circled, wept on, where I can't even hardly read the verses no more, but I've went to them so many times to visit, because that's where God met with me. And I was in a mess. About to resign my church down there. Not to come here either, just trouble. About every Monday.
Amen.
Resign. Y'all know that's when preachers resign every Monday morning. But go to God in prayer. And Brother Ned, he pointed to one of them verses and give me a promise. And this is like all of hell could march my way. And they wouldn't stop me. I wouldn't back up or quit. There ain't no way when God done promised me, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. Y'all know why you hear me pray? Go before me, make the crooked places straight every time I pray. Breaking some of the bars of iron. Isaiah chapter 45. Underlining my Bible. God made me a promise. He said, I don't care how bad it gets, how ugly it gets, how many people cuss you, how many people lie on you, down, steep, cheat, steal, and cuss you. I don't care how many. He said, I'll go before you. And I'll make the crooked places straight. And I'll break in some of the bars of iron. He'll give you a place to live and walk and serve. And can't nobody defeat God.
Sure.
Yeah. That's been 20 years ago that God gave me that verse. And every time I pray Isaiah 45. Go before me, Lord, make the crooked places straight, breaking sun of the bars of iron. Because He knows where I'm going. I don't half the time. Yeah. Well, it's a freedom builder, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It delivers from the bondage of this world, 2 Peter 2:20. Listen to this verse. I read this today. I hadn't read it in a long time. It's a scary verse. It's a sober verse. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. I read that today and breezed over it, and the Lord took me back to it, and I had to read that slow. That's talking of Christian people who get saved, and God rescues you out of sin. And He says, if you get in the world, after I delivered you out of the world, and you get back there and get tangled up again in the world, your end's going to be way worse than it was to begin with. And that's true. I've seen it happen. That's true. Don't get entangled back in the world. If God saved you from sin, why would you get back in it?
Amen.
There's nothing out there worth having.
Amen.
You young people listening?
Amen.
Amen. Well, there's freedom in the Word of God. There's entanglement out there in the world. There's freedom in God's Word. Not only bondage from this world, but there's freedom with the battle of worry. Let me give you these verses. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You ought to underline especially Philippians 4, 6, and 4, 7, and 8. A peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts. And then all these things that we should think on. When your mind goes to thinking goofy, run to the Bible and say, is this what God said I should be thinking on? And if it ain't, then ditch it.
Amen.
Don't give place to that. The Bible says neither give place to the devil.
Yes.
Don't give place to... Your mind is a battlefield. And there's freedom from it in the Word of God.
Amen.
When them thoughts are there and you say, I just can't get them out. I have people come to me a lot about their dreams. What do I do? What do I do? I'm having bad dreams. I'm having nightmares. Fill your mind with the Word of God. That's the best remedy for that. Yes. Well, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So, in closing, it is a faith builder, it is a fire builder. The Word of God is a freedom builder. It's a fellowship builder. 1 John 1:3, I just preached on these verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. It talks about potential fellowship and principle of fellowship. The pathway continued for fellowship. 1 John 2:1-2, you remember these verses. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And remember this, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's how you can have continued fellowship. He is a fortress builder. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. The word fortifies us against Satan's attack. As I mentioned earlier, Matthew chapter 4, you remember well. He said, I'll do this for you. It is written. I'll give you food. It is written. That's how you combat the devil. That's how he fortifies us against Satan's attack. Not only against Satan's attack, but against sin's appeal. Psalm 119:11, I just read that to you. That we hide his word in our heart, that we wouldn't sin against him. And it's against selfish ambitions. Here's a verse, Corinthians 9:27, being enriched everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Lastly, it is a family builder. The Word of God, if I can, I'll say this and we'll be done. Listen, if you don't gather with your family and read this Bible, you are missing it. Some of the sweetest, best times I've ever had with my wife and my daughters was piled up in a bed with God's Word, or on a couch with God's Word. I'm telling you, and the devil, there's nothing in my life the devil fights harder. My girls have heard me preach from the time they was born. 9 months prior to being born, they heard me preach. They know my voice. They know what church is. They know who God is. But I'm telling you, so I'm saying there ain't nothing to hide around them. They know me, and I know them. And I know my wife. We do everything together. I don't go nowhere without my wife. We do everything together. I think you ought to do that. But let me tell you, the hardest thing that I have tried to do and keep going is have family altar. The devil fights that tooth and nail. They ain't enough time in the day. He will put extra stuff in your life if you say, we're going to have family altar tonight. He will put sand in your eyes. And you'll be sleepy. Oh, we'll just do it tomorrow. Hey, won't you start doing that? Won't you let God build some things in your life, in your family's life, around the Word of God? Something that, unlike everything else we're putting in their face and in their minds, why don't we put something eternal in them? Something that'll last, something that'll change them.
Yes,
for good, not for bad. Amen? Lord, forgive me and help me do better at that. I'm telling you, if you're going to start doing that, be ready for a fight. Not just from Satan himself, but from your children. They won't want to do it, but you don't always give them what they want. I love Laurel to death. She's at home sick. And if that child asked me for $20, I'd give it to her if I had it. And she'll say, Daddy, I want some chocolate. I'll go to the store and get her some chocolate. She's the baby. And I'm spoiling her for everything she's worth. It's the last one I get to do that to. But there comes a point, even with her, if it's about 9 or 10 at night, and she says, Daddy, I want some chocolate. I'll say, go jump in the lake and get a bellyache. I ain't been buying you no chocolate this late at night. I've learned better. She'll be up all night. I ain't buying that child no chocolate. I don't care how much she loves me. I don't care how big her puppy dog eyes get. I ain't buying her no chocolate. And you better not give her none on Sunday night after church. She'll go to your house. My point is, hey, we don't always give them what they want. No matter how much we love them.
Yeah.
We draw lines. Why not draw spiritual lines? Why not hold ourselves to a higher standard and say, I'm going to, by the grace of God, impart some eternal truth to my children. If they don't see Daddy doing it, if they don't see Mama doing it. Does your children ever see you read the Bible? They ever see you pray? They ever hear you pray? Because if they don't, you're failing. You're failing. You can be succeeding in every other part of life, but you're failing them at the greatest part. Your children need to know Mom and Daddy prays. Because when they die, and I can tell you this from experience, way more than some blanket they've made, way more bank account they have, will be Mama's prayers. I can't tell you how many funerals I preached that children just dissolve and weep and thank God over a casket that they heard Mama pray, that they heard Daddy pray and read the Bible to them. That's something that you cannot get back, the sorry past, but you can start today and instill that in your children.
Amen.
And I encourage every one of us to do it. Let God build some things from His Word. I got a whole lot more we ain't got time to get to. Let's stand together. Some of y'all quit listening a while ago. You say, not me? Well then, hey man, good. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God.
Amen.
Forgive me, Lord, for failing miserably, Lord, at putting it in my head and heart. I pray, Lord, you'd help me have a new desire, Lord, to search the Scriptures, God, to study the Scriptures, Lord, and to hide them in my heart, God. Lord, I pray for each and every family that's represented, God, every home, God, every mom and every daddy, Lord, every grandparent, Lord, every child. God, please help us, Lord, to allow the ministry of the Word of God to build things in our life. God, help us all to realize the importance of it, God. Lord, don't let another day and week go by that we fail and forget to read the Word of God. May our children hear it, God, from our lips and from our hearts, Lord, I pray. Touch now. Help us, God, as we go into this week, Lord. I pray you'd go with us, God. I pray you'd go with every family. Touch, Lord. Give us exactly what we need, God, this week. I pray you'd help us to be back Wednesday. The appointed time. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this good Lord's Day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe there are some Took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. been spared pain and misery. And even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. And though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. And I just want to thank you. You've been good to me, Lord. And I just want to pray. All my sins forgave, and I just want to thank you. You've been good to me. Lord, if I'd confess all my sins, forgiveness would be mine. And faithful to your promise, you cleansed the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly, assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Yes, Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to me. And I just want to thank you. You've been good to me, Lord. And I just want to praise you. For me, when I was astray, you took me back, all my sins forgave, and I just want to thank you. You've been good to me. Took me back, all my sins forgave.